the prayer before the reading of the Holy Gospel. Barakmore, grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your Holy Gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. For those of you joining us this evening, I encourage you to please open up your Bibles, if you have it with you, to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 18 through 27. The Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 18 through 27. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. You know all the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and honor your father and your mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me." But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And those who heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" But he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Barakamar. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and always, and forever and ever. Amen. I know this is a familiar passage to each and every one of us on this conference prayer this evening. And I was thinking about this passage, and as you probably already know, the story of the rich young ruler is actually recorded three times, that is, in all of the three synoptic gospels, St. Matthew, St. Mark, and St. Luke. And I think it's quite important that the gospel writers were able to recall the same story and bring it as a special attention to us, highlighting the importance and telling us there are lessons in the story that demand special attention. And what I wanted to do was just kind of briefly touch upon some of the couple of points from this passage, beginning with the first thing. The story begins with the rich man asking Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And I have heard this question so many times in all of my interactions, whether it be with uncles and aunties, or whether it be with youth or even young children. Everyone wants to know that answer. What must I do to inherit eternal life? But before I even begin to ask or answer the details of that question, I wanted to highlight a couple of characteristics about this rich young ruler. I think there's a couple of things that we should note about him. The first is, here is a young man who is anxious, not for any other reasons, but he is very anxious about his soul and concerned about his particular eternal life. When I think about that for a moment, I find it quite rare that we even find men or women like him. That is, people who are constantly thinking, "What can I do to make sure that I inherit eternal life?" The second thing that I want to point out about this man, he came to Christ of his own accord. If you look at many of the people all throughout the Gospels, all of the people that came to Christ, They may have came with special requests. Some may have just come to experience Christ. And then there were a few, like this man, who came with a specific question to be answered. So he did not come to have a disease healed. He did not plead to have help for a helpless child. He did not witness a great miracle, but he had a concern for his immortal soul. And so for that reason, even though the man may have had his own weaknesses, I think it is safe to say that he was earnest and sincere in his approach. And the third thing that I kind of want to highlight about this young man is that he must have believed in a God who promised some form of the reality of eternal life in order for him to even ask the question, what must I do to inherit it? And I think that's something pretty important for us to consider as we begin to look deeper into this passage. So the first, here is the young man who is anxious about his soul and concerned about his eternal life. Secondly, he came to Christ of his own accord. And thirdly, he must have believed in a God who promised the reality of eternal life in order for him to even ask this question, what must I do to inherit it? So if his approach and his questions were pretty sincere, the next question you're probably asking is, where did the man go wrong? And that kind of brings me to the first point of the short message that I wanted to share regarding this gospel, is that even though he was concerned about how to inherit eternal life, he was not just concerned about himself. He was concerned how he, along with his wealth, might inherit eternal life. Let me repeat that by saying, this man was not simply concerned about how to inherit eternal life. He was concerned how he, along with his wealth, might inherit eternal life. He was hoping maybe that Jesus could show him a way in which he could live forever enjoying the possessions of his wealth. He, and just like many of us today, probably did not want to let go of the riches he possessed. He's very much like us. And when I look at each and every one of our lives, including myself, I see many of us who live as if everything we own will be ours for eternity. And this is something that we have to genuinely ask and prepare ourselves, is at the end of the day, when each and every one of us experience the death from this temporary world, what is it that we're going to be taking with us? Whether it be our cars, our homes, the awards, the degrees, none of that will have or attain any value in eternity. Those are all things that are great. Those are all things that are considered to be blessings in this temporary world that we live in. Those are all things that are granted to us by God himself. But we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing with these material possessions and with this wealth? And that kind of leads me to our second point of study for today, is that when this man approached Christ, he approached as if Jesus was just merely a man or some kind of teacher. When Christ responds to the man, he does not respond to his initial question of inheriting eternal life. Jesus responds to the way the man addressed him as a good teacher. And the Lord says, none is good except one, God himself. Christ made it very clear that in order for the man to call him good, he must do so because he believes Christ is God. No one is good in and of himself but God. And that's maybe where this man possibly may have gone wrong, is that he may not have realized that the teacher or the man that was standing before him was not just an ordinary person. It was God himself. And Christ knew the man understood the law and met the outward requirements of simply following the law. However, the man failed to realize that God never intended the law to be the means of salvation. You see, when we study the law, or when we look at the law condemns, but it can never give life. The law demands, but it can never give grace. Even though the man was not outwardly disobeying commandments, he and us break the commandments of the law with our hearts and our thoughts. This brings me to a point that I feel should be our takeaway from this evening, is that we must learn to know ourselves. We think we have it all right and we think we're doing just fine. But when we look into the innermost place of our heart and our thoughts, we see a great cloud of sin. And it is a sin that so easily entangles us and blinds us from the reality of this world. So Christ takes this man one step further and he says, "You still lack one thing. Sell all of your possessions. Distribute it unto the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." So here, I think we find the answer that we are looking for. We find the law of true Christian life. The law of true Christian life is quite simple. It's non-possession. And what do I mean by non-possession? What I simply mean by that is giving away everything that we consider to be ours. Don't give anything as ownership for ourselves. Everything that we have, whether it be the food that we eat, the shelter that is over our heads, the clothing that we wear, the cars that we drive, the computers, the laptops, the technology, whatever it is that we use and we have to ourselves, don't consider it as ourselves. But remind ourselves that these things belong to someone else. Christ doesn't say, give your possessions to your rich relatives. He says, give it unto the poor. Moreover, he calls us as his sons or daughters to come follow him. I'm kind of reminded of a story when I went to Africa for a missions trip back in May of 2004. And there was this man who was quite elderly, and he was partially blind, and he was very physically frail and weak. And where I went in Africa was to go and serve a group of school children that were very young age, pretty much like 4 or 5, 6-year-old children. And this old age, frail man, every day would go out into the wood area, into the farm area, and basically bring back barrels of corn in order for the school children to be able to eat it during the lunchtime. And he did this every day without hesitation, consistently, throughout the 3 weeks that I was there. And in all those times, you know, he was struggling to do the work himself, but he still did it with such an open heart and such a loving and gracious heart. But at the end of the trip, I just wanted to give this man something. I just didn't know how to say thank you, because I felt like he was one who was going unrecognized. And I thought, this is someone who exemplifies what someone on earth should be doing in terms of attaining eternal life or attaining the kingdom. Someone who is so openly denying himself, denying his physical frailties and his sicknesses and everything in order to go and serve children and provide them with the food that they need, more than a concern for himself. He was denying himself in other ways. So the only thing I really had was clothes that I had packed, you know, here from America that I had previously used. And so I know it's not of much value in Africa, but I had a pair of jeans that I had that was fairly new. And I thought it was something at least that I could pass on to this man. And I just gave it to him as a gift in a closed room with no one else there. I told him, I just wanted to give you something because just to say thank you and to hope that he would be able to use it, and if not, pass it on to someone else. And the man simply fell on his knees and began to shed tears and began to openly embrace his arm towards me. And he said, I am not deserving of this. For my God has enabled me to do this. I should have been dead a long time ago, but he still gives me the opportunity to serve people. And then he looked at me in the eye and he said, you are like the Moses for the Israelites by you coming here and serving us here in Africa, because we were looking for leaders like you to come and help us. And I thought, what is it that I could have possibly done for these people? Ultimately, I felt that that experience for me was more of a blessing than anything that I could have done for them. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, the point that I want to leave with everyone this evening is, this is a reminder that the time spent on this earth is very short. Moreover, the things that we have and the things that we see and the things that entangle us and take up our time and energy, these are all temporary. Nothing will be taken with us. And at the end of the day, the question that we have to ask ourselves is, we may be rich, but what are we rich with? Are we rich with the life of the church and the scriptures and all things that has been given to us by Christ? Or are we rich with the things of this world that are going to take us on a path that is going to pretty much find us at the end, at a dead end, where we find ourselves not being able to turn to the left or to the right? I hope and pray that we will choose that path that will lead us to eternity, and that we have a clear answer for ourselves of what we must do to inherit eternal life is outlined for us in the life of the church, is outlined for us through all the scriptures, and is outlined for us through all the fathers of the past who have shown us the example and the life in which we should live on this earth. To the glory of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks, and blessings for his living words to us. Unto his Father who sent him for our salvation, and to his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen.